What's up, listeners? This is Hypebeast Radio. It's your host, Robert Marshall, and I'm sitting here today with photographer, a creative director, and all of the above, everything else, Dapper Lou. Dapper, how you doing, Lou?
How's it going? I'm good. How you feel?
Good. Great. Great. How are you enjoying this New York heat?
It's pretty intense, but I'm not complaining because, you know, when once it comes around, everyone's miserable. So I prefer the heat over, you know, anything cold.
Yeah. So, yeah. See, I'm totally the opposite.
Really?
But it's funny, like just literally on a corner just now, some, you know, young black man was sitting there like full on suit and someone was trying to clown him for being suited up. He was like, no, I'm like, it's like, I'm black. I'm cool in the heat. I'm not white. He's like, and I'm like, yes, I am anxious for the fall. Yes.
That's ready, I'm waiting for this. Yeah, I mean, I guess, you're right. I mean, this particular week is like super, you know, like extra, but I mean, just in summer in general, I feel like you can like chill under a tree or go to the beach and at least like get some sort of like relief.
Yeah. You can find shade in New York, right?
Shade, yeah,
yeah. But it's just, I think it's all the other stuff. It's like the subway. It's having to deal
That's just, I give you that. Yeah.
You know, if it's just walking on a street, I can stay in the shade.
Yeah. Cause that's like added like pressure. Yeah. I feel you.
So, Dapper, what have you been up to as of lately? I've seen your Instagram is full of travel, getting around Kenya, Peru, right, Bolivia.
Yeah. So basically, all of what you just said. Recently I was in Kenya. I was working with a nonprofit, Giants of Africa,
okay.
And what they do is basically they build like basketball courts like throughout Africa. For this project, they kind of invited us to come and just like document like the culture of Kenya and like the people. And this particular project, it was it's like the hometown of Obama. So
okay.
So we were able to like actually like shoot him like while he was kind of like, so basically his sister has this facilities, you know, that helps like kids in like that neighborhood kind of have access to things like, you know, schools, you know, like a school or classrooms or just art and
everything and we take for granted.
Everything we take for granted. Yeah. So that was a kind of like really interesting project to like work on, because like just certain things I was like way unaware of, you know.
For sure.
Or, I mean, well, at least I was aware of it, but not like to the extent, you know.
Okay.
So it was a really cool like, you know, project to be a part of.
Yeah. Did you said you were following Obama's round too?
Well, no.
Okay.
So basically,
their like, foundation.
So. Giants of Africa, they built the court and
okay.
Basically like, you know, Obama was kind of like playing ball with the kids.
Oh wow, okay.
Yeah, so that was kind of like what we were just documenting.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, it was pretty dope. It was pretty exciting. Yeah.
So I mean, taking a giant step back, you know, you're originally from Brooklyn, but with your parents are Haitian. Tell me a little bit about growing up there. You know, I mean, Haiti is also a country that has a lot of things that. Or a lot of things don't have a lot of things that we take for granted as well.
No, it's true. It's true. Like you said, I'm Haitian descent, and like growing up in Brooklyn, I've always kind of it was always a thing to like run away to the city. Like you always had to come to the city and like, you know, hang out. And you know, I grew up in Flatbush, like, you know, Flatbush between, you know, Parkside and Rogers. And my parents, they like, you know, they're pretty chill and pretty, and you know, they're like immigrants coming from Haiti. So for them, like they have, you know, they always call me like the American kid or the American son. Cause, you know, like our perspectives on things are just so different, you know? And right. I think like growing up, I was always kind of like, my own boss, even as a kid. Cause even like parents teacher conference was like a struggle. Cause like my parents, like literally, could barely understand, you know, like, you know, communications with the teachers. And
right.
I mean, they like whenever I got in trouble, that for sure, that was like a very clear communication, you know.
Right, yeah.
Anytime I got in trouble, but anything, you know, other than that, it was kind of like I was always like, you know, being my own tutor or teaching myself how to like, you know, do things like that. So, you know, so that has its, you know, had its struggles in itself. And come from a very modest background. So I never really expected much, like, you know, materially. Like, I know my parents just didn't have that. So for me, it's always been a drive in me to, like, do things on my own, to kind of, like, learn things, figure things out. And I think that also kind of, like, went into my career as well, just, you know, just naturally.
With your parents calling you the American boy, the American son, Do you see yourself that way as well, or do you still really try to pride yourself on your Haitian?
So I have a brother that I met him like for the first time in like 2008, and he's okay. like straight from Haiti.
Yeah.
And yeah, I definitely like after meeting him for the first time, I'm like, yeah, for sure, I can see why they say this, because like our mentality, everything is just like totally different. So yeah.
Right. And do you travel back like often, or try to?
Funny enough, I have not been to Haiti.
Okay.
So I was supposed to actually be there like around now, but there was some protests going on, right. And I was like, all right, well, maybe it's not good timing, but I was kind of like saving it as something to do as like an adult, you mm-hmm. know? So yeah, so hopefully sooner than later, I'll be there for the first time.
Right. So you say it was at times or in school, it was, you know, you're kind of like learning on your own, or at least having to teach yourself. What else was it, or, you know, what were the things that your parents were trying to steal in you, like, from their upbringing, you know, that kind of transition that has transitioned into your current career now?
I mean, you know, my parents, like, you know, even though, like, you know, from a financial standpoint, it wasn't always like, you know, there, but they've always instilled in me like strong, like moral values, like spirituality. So that's kind of like, you know, some of the things that they've always worked with me on. So that's something that obviously that translates into my career, that translates into like just me as a person. So yeah, those are some of the things that I could say for sure that they really influenced me on.
Yeah. And is this also, you know, part of the reason why you've traveled, or you jump on projects like the one you just mentioned in Kenya, you know, because of your family and where you're from?
No, I think that like in terms of like travel, I mean, that's just something that I kind of like, you know, got into like early 20s or like maybe like teens, but more so in my 20s, just because it kind of like brought it in my perspective on like just everything, including like work. So I think that kind of for me, like for me, I see travel more as like an education. Like, I'm not like interested in like, I mean, you know, I'm not interested in like, oh, okay, cool, let me take shots of me like, you know, frolicking on the beach, or like, you know, just for, you know, Instagram, which people that do that is fine. But I think for me, more so, travel is more so like, all right, well, and it's an education process. Like me going to Kenya, like it opens my eyes to like different way people live and how people communicate and how people interact. And through photography, I like, you know, document those moments, but I'm also like learning about the people as I document it. So it's like a real experience for me, but it's also an experience that I'm like fully sharing with people, you know? So for me, it's very like educational. So that's how I look at it.
Right. It's more of, you've kind of transitioned out of, in a way, you know, fashion photography is, especially when you were doing a lot of street style photography, and we'll get to that in a moment. You know, it is still very like journalistic, like photography, right? Like photojournalism. And I guess, is that kind of where you see, or you've kind of moved a bit, you know, or do you see that it is a healthy balance between the two?
Yeah, I mean, I have kind of moved a bit, but I think that, like, I mean, all in all, like, I try to keep certain things consistent in my work, like, you know, color, like textures, patterns, but I definitely have moved a bit from, like, you know, the original scenes that I was a part of. Mm-hmm. And I think that's just more so like my interests have changed. Like, right. You know, like people's interests change all the time.
Especially
so,
as you travel.
Yeah, especially if you travel. So like, you know, like whereas, you know, before I was doing more so like standing in front of a show, like documenting that. And now I'm like interested in like, you know, going to like an indigenous tribe and like, you know, seeing like how, you know, the Karen long neck tribe in like in Thailand or like Myanmar is, you know, so it's like, there's still, to me, there's still fashion in that. Cause obviously, you know, they're very dressed in a very stylistic way,
right.
You know, but I'm kind of like thinking, all right, well, how can I get more in depth? How can I do something that's more like meaningful, that's more substance driven?
Sure.
So I think, that's just like, I think it's just like a natural progression. But I do appreciate both, you know, but it's just, it's just phases.
Absolutely. So going back to that original phase, you said you were traveling in your late teens, your early 20s. And from what I gathered, you started a little bit in styling and then kind of transitioned or kind of fell into photography. How did that all come about? Like, what was high school Lou doing? And, you know, after that, like, how did you...
High school Lou was like, high school thought he could really dress and do all this other stuff, but looking back, I was like, nah, it was all trash.
It was just best dress, best dress of the year award was the only thing on your mind, right?
Yeah, that was the only thing that was going on. But I think, you know, like growing up, like I knew I kind of wanted to do something, you know, fashion related. But, you know, when you're a teen, I was like super like, you know, I was very dramatic and insecure in a sense, but I was like, well, I didn't even apply to fashion school because I was just like, nah, they say no, like, you know, that was going to like
break my heart,
like, you know, destroy me. So I just kind of, you know, I just kind of started off like, I was like, all right, well, I can dress, so maybe I'll just be a stylist. So that was the first thing I, you know, kind of like got into. I was doing a lot of unpaid stuff. But
did your family, like, does, what's the Haitian style like? Is your father like, because you're, you're Dapper Lou, you know, you are dapper, you dress dapperly, you know, as in that way, you know, the menswear style that, you know, was very pervasive in the early 2010s and it still very much is that part of like Haitian culture as well?
I think it could be a part of it, but I think for me more so like, I mean, I remember like my father's like huge, huge, heavy into sports and I like sports too, but I remember as a kid, like specifically like, I mean, there was a show, I think it was called, like, it was just, like, a channel that only showed, like, runway stuff. And I literally would, like, I would sit in front of the TV and I would just look at every single show. Like it was almost, like, brainwashing me. Like, literally, like, that's all I would do is I would just watch, like, over and over and over and over. And I know, like shows that my parents, you know, maybe you watch TV together, like, I was more interested in, like, watching, like, the music awards or things like that, that was like more entertainment driven than, you know, than anything else. So I think that like from a young age, I was always kind of like interested in that. And I was always like, always thinking more about like appearances and look nice and stuff. Like that was always like, you know, I remember first day of school, like, I mean, I would literally almost like have a heart attack if I didn't have like, you know, new stuff. It didn't even have to be like the best. It just had to be like, you know, first day of school.
Yeah,
you know,
it has to be like, different. Yeah, I think even know. Now I'm still almost conditioned that this time of the year I get a little anxious with my wardrobe because yes, the first day of school was the biggest day of school.
It was the biggest day of school, you know, and yeah. So and I was really strategic, you know, strategic on the way like I would do. I was like, all right, I know I couldn't get like every pair of Jordans, but I made sure the one that I got was a little bit more classic than the, you know, crazy color one. So yeah, I mean, I was definitely more into like, I was definitely always into kind of like style and appearances and things like that as a kid. Right.
And then, so you're playing around with styling a little bit, you know, fast forwarding back to your 20s. How did you transition into the photography realm?
I think the transition was, well, when I was styling me, a lot of it was like kind of like unpaid gigs and I was kind of like, I was like, man, this is a lot of work. I was stepping like all these samples back and forth. And I was just like, I mean, I specifically remember one time I was working with like this editor and I was like, I had to like step all these like 50 pound worth of like just gowns. And I was like, man, like this is like.
Yeah, and drop one on the ground and it's done.
Yeah, I was like, man, this is a lot of work. But I think I kind of, and then also like the frustration of like, you know, when I was working with, you know, certain photographers, I wasn't getting images back. So I was kind of like, you know, going through that limbo, but I was still doing it. But then an editor style like you that like interviewed me and they were like, oh, okay, cool, like have you ever thought about photography? And I was just like, nah, I don't think that's for me, that's not, you know. But as I was saying no, I was also kind of like, like, you know, why not? So
you're already styling and you're moving the stuff from back and forth, right? So yeah
so I mean, I just kind of like, all right, I picked up the camera and then from there I just started like you know, shooting like nonstop and kind of got really obsessed with it. And I didn't really learn it from like a, you know, technical perspective. I just kind of was like, all right, well, I know what looks good. And that's kind of like how I learned. Yeah.
Right. So was it a matter if you didn't go to school or anything like that, how did you, you know, hone in on your skills then?
I think for me, it was just more of like, you know, a consistency thing and practice thing. Cause I just kind of was like, all right, well, I know what I like and I know, and I'm not exactly sure how to get that result, but I'm going to keep, you know, it was more of a trial and error kind of thing. So I tried like, you know, a lot of different things and I just kept shooting. Honestly, I shot like everything. I shot like every and anything that I liked, you know. It was like, I would now thinking back, I would like put like sunglasses on like a book or whatever, that I would just like photograph that, or I was just shooting like literally everyone in Soho at that time.
Right.
Because I used to work at a shoe store, and then, you know, on my lunch break, I was just like, you know, start shooting people on the street. So that's kind of like, you know, that's kind of like my background, and I just never stopped shooting. So.
Right. Yeah. And then, you know, again, what we were talking about before we got on the record, you started working a little bit for us, like doing some photography stuff in fashion weeks. What was that like, you know, getting in, you know, traveling at that time and then seeing fashion from, you know, the different parts of the world?
I mean, that was pretty cool, because, I mean, like, my first, I guess my first big, like, ever, like, fashion week travel experience is while I was at that shoe store. I remember working there part-time, but I worked 5 days, 5 or 6, 7 days straight, something like that. And I remember, like, the other, like, 5 or 7 days, I was like, look, I'll work this week straight, and then the next week I took off, and I went to, like, my first, like, Paris Fashion Week. And it was, for me, it was kind of like a stamp of approval, because, like, I mean, I got there, like, I barely had any contacts, you know, but I'm seeing, like, the industry through a whole different perspective, like, overseas, you know. And I remember, like, I mean, I remember specifically going to the show, like, this editor just saw me, like, shooting outside of a Kenzo show, and it was, like, raining, and she's like, what are you doing here? Like, she was like, what are you doing? And I was just like, I don't know. And then she was just like, just come in with me. So we came in, you know, so I walked in, and it was that year when, like, I'm, like, Sean and Didi was, like, front row at a show, and I'm, like, in the show, I'm, like, it's, like, all brand new to me, but I'm just kind of, like, excited, like, for that moment. So I was just doing what I normally, you know, would normally do, but I was, like, super excited. And then I think that same evening, we found the locations, like, the Kanye West show. That's when he was, like, doing, like, women's. I got there, and I know the PR agencies, it was almost impossible to get in. And then this editor, Mickey from Paper, he was just like, oh, you want to get in? And then, you know, we just kind of, like, I got in with him. And then from there, it was full of celebrities at that show. It was, like, I mean, like, just, like, a long list of celebrities. And I remember just, like, I mean, like, yeah, Diddy, yeah, Shiny, yeah, Common, yeah, Mos Def. And I remember just, like, being all over the place. I just started shooting, like, all these, like, celebrities and people in VIP. It was just, like, a cool moment, because then what made it even cooler, you know, beyond the fact that, because I'm not really celebrity-driven, but it was, the cool part was, like, there were certain, like, fashion people that I was really, like, looking up to at that time, and they were like, oh yeah, we know who you are, you know, you're that guy with the blog. And I was like, wow, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
for me, it was just like, it was kind of like this stamp of approval, because, like, here's this industry that I was so insecure about even, like, approaching, and
right.
Now it's like people that I was looking up to are kind of like, oh yeah, we know who you are, like, you have a blog. But no one tells you that, like,
right,
especially
for sure.
People that, like, you know, at that position, no one's like, oh,
yeah.
No one's sending you, like, messages like, oh yeah, we know, you know. It's like, because someone's like a fan of you, yeah, they'll let you know. But in the beginning, no one's like, you know, you don't know those stories.
Yeah, you don't know if those side eyes are like, they don't, like, you know, like, looking at you like you're crazy because you're fit, or that they actually know you, right? Because no one's actually, no one's coming up to somebody and saying hi or anything, right?
Yeah, so, I mean, that was pretty, like, that was pretty exciting to me. So
it was more so less than your stamp of approval, but saying like, okay, this is something that I should be pursuing,
yeah, exactly,
and doing, right?
Exactly. And I feel like, you know, moments like that kind of like took me to like another level, where I was able to like now be seen from like, you know, luxury brands, or like, okay, this guy is like, you know, serious about this. And I think that kind of like, you know, and that's funny because that same summer I ended up losing the job at the shoe store, and I was like freaking out because I was like, oh, you know, what am I gonna do? Like,
yeah,
you know, so then that the whole like 6 months I was just like, you know, I'm done with this. I'm like, you know, but yeah, I stuck with it. and then I was able to like, you know, shoot for, you know, you guys, and like just kind of like collaborate with like different people. But for me, I was doing it from a freelance standpoint,
right?
And that was all new to me. Like, I was like, well, what does this mean, you know, getting paid once or twice, you know, like
month,
you know, like that whole process was different. So I mean, like I said, it was like, I feel like my whole career has all been like, you know, trial and error, try this, try that, this works, that doesn't work, and kind of like, you know, learning as I go.
So I that is probably an interesting time, right, for a photographer, where they're going from, you know, just kind of almost just shooting on their own and submitting their work, or, you know, especially when it comes to like street style, and then actually, you know, building a name for themselves, and now you have to work with clients. Like, what was that transition like? You know, I guess you had that background already with styling work, but then now you're doing it from the other side, right? So what was that? Was that a tough transition, or was it just kind of like, you know, did it set you back? Like, oh, this is actually much, you know, this is fun, but this is hard.
I think for me, it's like, I think I've always kind of wanted to do like so many different things like at a time. I mean, photography is probably the most consistent thing that I've been doing, but I'm always kind of like, all right, well, I never want things to be the same. I'm always just like, all right, well, what else can I do to make this different? I'm always kind of like trying not to be like, you know, pigeonholed into like one thing. So then I feel like, because the styling really helped, you know, my photography, because then if I had a shoot, I'm like, well, if I don't have no one, I'm a stylist, I'm going to shoot this myself, I'm going to cast my, you know, so I've always kind of had that mentality where like, yo, I'm going to get the job done. And I think that has always, you know, even with the agency now, that's kind of has always been like my work ethic. I've always kind of like, well, you know, I'm going to get the job done regardless of what. And even from a photographer standpoint, like I said, I'm not like the technical guy. So I never really wanted to even go down like the traditional route. I'm just kind of like, all right, look, I'll produce what I produce, and whoever likes it, and if they don't, they don't. You know what I mean? That's always kind of been like my mentality about stuff. So that's kind of like, you know, my process in a little bit. Yeah.
So tell me then about your style, like, you know, this unwavering style that like, hey, if you guys like it, you like it. If you don't, you don't. Like, what is it that makes, you know, the Dapper Lou aesthetic?
I think for me, I mean, you know, I think, you know, in a sense, like, you know, my culture does play a big role, because, you know, like, you know, being Haitian, and obviously, like, there's so much in, you know, traveling to the Caribbean, even though I haven't been to Haiti, but going to the Caribbean, going to, like, Africa, like, there's so many, like, elements of, like, colors and textures that I'm kind of like, all right, well, this represents me as, like, a person, as an artist, you know, like, I could really, like, vibe with these things. And I think that before, I was kind of, like, doing things that I thought I should be doing, and now I'm kind of like, all right, well, let me actually do things that I really like, or things that I'm like, I'm truly inspired by, you know. So I think that, you know, it's just always been a reoccurring thing now. So it's like, you know, obviously I like color, but I like to do it in a very like tasteful manner. Or I like to put up, you know, sets together, or like, I like, you know, like, you know, at the studio we'll build like different random sets for like different, you know, random reasons. So so I think my style is very, it's very vibrant, it's very colorful, it's very, you know, textured, pattern driven. So, and it's also very experimental. Like, I like to just experiment and, like, you know, challenge myself with different things.
Right.
Like, you know, moments I'll travel, but then I'm like, all right, well, I don't want to just do travels. I'll go into the studio, and then I'll just like, all right, well, let's build a set for, you know, for whatever reason. And then now lately, sometimes that I've been doing is like, I'll travel, I'll gather pieces or, you know, indigenous things from places, and I'll say, all right, well, let's recreate something in a studio. So I'm kind of like, I try to do things like more like conceptual, you know, but also at the same time, like, I like working in the moment where you just kind of like meeting people and things just flow.
Right, right.
So it's a little bit of different things.
Right. And what would you say, you know, over the last couple of years that, you know, would be your proudest moment in your career thus far?
Proudest moment I would have to say would be like the Lauryn Hill shoot.
Yeah.
And I think that more so because it's like, I don't know. It was just like, I mean, this is obviously someone that, like, you know, I grew up listening to, and then, you know, I would have never thought in like, you know, 1,000 years, she would be in my space, in my studio, like, that I just opened, like, not even that long ago. But, you know, like, just all that coming together was kind of like very like, I like, wow, you know. So I thought that was a really cool moment.
And how did that come about?
I shot a model, and then, you know, his agent happens to be like good friends with her, and then, you know, yeah, then next you know, like, we were shooting. So,
oh, wow,
yeah,
just that easy.
It was just yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. But so that advice would just be just, you know, just talk to people, right? What would be the advice to get to that point?
Huh?
Like, what would be the advice to get to that point then?
I mean, honestly, I wasn't kind of like searching for it. It was just kind of like, all right, well, this happened, and I was like, wow, like, this is actually really happening. But I don't really get excited for stuff until, like, you know, like, things actually like coming, you know, are like things are actually coming together. Because obviously, you know, sometimes, you know, things come so close and then boom, it tanks. So I don't really get excited until like, all right, I'm like, all right, she's in my space. I hear her voice in the studio. Like, this is insane, you know?
Yeah.
So that was a really cool like moment. So
do you have any, you know, for any of like young aspiring photographers that are looking to, you know, go freelance and work with other brands, do you have any, you know, warnings or like horror stories that you've had experience in the past where it's, you know, your creativity or your vision has been, you know, attempted to be compromised in a way or something?
What do you mean? Like if, what do you mean?
As if like, you know, working with brands a lot, you know, you're almost at the whim of like their vision or what they want to be present, but you know, they hired you, you know, for that very reason, because you're the one with the eye, because you're the creative, the person. So it's like, how are you able to balance that like between the two brands?
I mean, I think that like I'm very like transparent with brands. I kind of like, you know, I think, you know, like my aesthetic is very much like me. It's like, all right, well, sometimes you can see a photograph, you're like, all right, yeah, Lou shot that. So I think that like when I'm working with brands, I kind of like, they, you know, will, you know, get on the call and I explain that to them. I'm like, hey, like, you know, I like to interpret things the way I like to interpret it. Like, you know, obviously I'll work with them with, you know, creating a mood board so they're obviously like not blind or like not, you know, out the loop of like how I'll execute it.
Sure.
But I like to have like that creative freedom. And okay. I think that, you know, more brands are more open to giving me creative freedom because I feel like, you know, you have to build that trust level, you know,
right.
Like how are we going to know what we're going to get if we, you know, and I think that comes over time. Like in the beginning, like, it's like, yeah, how are we going to trust you? We don't, you know, but I think once you've been doing something for a while, people kind of like understand, all right, well, yeah, we trust you. We trust your vision or we trust, you know, what you're going to be doing. And I think that just, you know, comes some time, experience, and also just like building relationships with people.
Right, right. Yeah, it is, mentioning the part with the mood board, it is a matter of just being transparent at times too. It's like letting them know like, hey, this is what I'm doing. This is what I want. If you have any issues with it, bring it up to me now, yeah. Right before I get there. So you mentioned, as you were talking about Lauryn Hill and previously that your studio, which is kind of a fairly new space, tell us a little bit about that.
So, I mean, the idea came about, it was just like, I mean, I honestly, like a lot of the shoots I was doing was in my backyard. So I think it was kind of like time to graduate, from that. And then, yeah, so I got the space and then, even that process was like, totally, you know, new because I'm like, what do I really need it? Like, I don't want to just get it and like, am I going to use it? So the idea was like, I have a lot of different friends, you know, in the industry that we're really cool with and we like to, you know, we have a really good work ethic together. And I was like, there was a level of like, it's like this whole like everyone's, you know, this person's influencer, it's like everyone's kind of like in their own little worlds. And I was just like, well, how can we like, you know, merge certain worlds together? Like, you know, like for example, like a homie of mine, Joe Kenneth, or like Daniel, like they're super talented in their own respects, you
right.
know? So I'm like, how can we like merge these talents together and like create an agency with friends and just kind of like work with brands together? Cause I'm like, there's obviously more power in numbers. And it became, now it's like more of a community thing. It's like, all right, we come together, we'll have a little artist talk to the studio, you know, we'll invite like creatives that we admire to come through, chill. Like, you know, so it's like a very like unpretentious, like just chill environment. Like no one's like, you know, trying to be extra. No one's like trying to shine, you know, it's just like very chill and, you know, simple.
Collaborative. So it's not just your space.
So yeah, it's my space, but it's like, but so the collective part of it, it's like, you know, like different artist friends that I have, like if they're working on a project, like
okay.
they were very welcome to like, you know, use the space in that sense. So, but also like when we're working on, so we did a project, well, one of the first official projects as a studio, we did with New Balance. And, so, you know, we hired our own like creative team and we just kind of like executed it. Came up with the concept and, you know, they were really cool with, you know, the ideas and the deliverables. So the idea was kind of like, all right, well, using everyone's talents to the best of their ability and like producing, you know, content that we like.
Right.
So it's easier to, you know, sometimes work with friends. Sometimes it could be a challenge, but for the most part, we've all, you know, it's all been good vibes.
Yeah. And how do you deal with those challenges then is a good way. Cause I think in street culture or any really creative realm, right, the allure of it, or like whatever he wants to do, is like, I just want to work with my friends. Like, I just want to hang out with my best friend. But like, you know, that is tough. You know, that is a battle. You know, how are you guys able to deal with this, especially if it's like, you know, a tight knit community of homies?
Yeah, I mean, I think we deal with it by like, you know, we're just you know, we have like post-production, you know, like talks. Like, we all have our moments. We all have our like drama moments where we're like, you know, over each other. But at the same time, you know, we talk it out and we're like, all right, well, you know, this went well, that went wrong because of that reason. And we kind of like talk things out and then we just move forward, you know?
Yeah,
I think that, especially with, you know, yeah, with us, it's kind of like, yeah, like we'll definitely like you know, the stories are there, but, we hash things out, try to do it quickly, you know, we just move forward and that's it.
Yeah. Yeah, it is always a matter of like understanding that this side of it is always business. Like,
yeah, exactly.
You got to make sure you're around people that don't take that type of stuff personal, right?
Yeah.
So again, you've kind of gone through what you've been through, you know, what you've done in the past, how long you've been creating in the industry. So, you know, how do you see, you know, fashion having progressed? You know, again, going back to the name Dapper Lou, you know, fashion is much different, or at least, you know, trending men's fashion is much different than what it was, you know, 2010. So what are your thoughts on the evolution, I suppose?
I think the evolution of it is that it's kind of, I think, you know, with social and everyone kind of having a platform and a voice, I think it's kind of, you know, made it where, you know, an industry that was a bit more like behind closed doors is now like very open to like, you know, a lot of different people. You know, I mean, you know, myself even being one of them, you know, I feel like I definitely have used social media to, you know, promote business and to kind of like, you know, do things like that. So I think that I think the progression is that literally it's like everyone is kind of can create their own hype in a sense, you know, and which, you know, it could be a, you know, it could be a good or a bad thing. I just think that, you know, I just think that, you know, hopefully as long as people follow some social etiquettes of it. But I do think that I think it's a cool, you know, I think it's a cool thing. I think it makes, you know, people that have been in the industry longer, it makes it more challenging for them, and, you know, having to think of ways to, like, you know, keep reinventing themselves. You know, like, industries change, so you have to expect, you know, things like that to happen. So yeah.
Yeah. No, you talked a little bit about like social etiquette. You're still very much on Instagram, and I seen on your Twitter a little bit where you talked a little bit about, you know, social media being a bit of a struggle at times, you know, just like, I think, one of the things you said is like, you have a love hate relationship for it. I mean, you kind of made your career a little bit, or started your career out on the internet, you know, Instagram. Why is it a little bit different now? Like, why do you have that love hate relationship?
I think my love hate relationship with that's a good question. You did your research. I'm like, all right.
That's what we're doing. That's what we're doing here.
I'm like, all right.
Diving into the books.
I think it stems from like, I mean, you know, I think I'm not like constantly, I kind of post when I have something to say, you know, like if I feel like, all right, well, this is something I want people to see, or this one something I think that people should know about, then I'll post. But I'm not like, you know, at least my posting habits have changed where it's like, all right, well, I'm, you know, I'm just riding my bike, or I'm just like having lunch, right? Like, or, you know, I'm not like constantly like just oversharing like certain things. I think that now I'm kind of like, all right, well, this is like, you know, like if I do my stories, I'll post a whole bunch like in a day or two, and then I'll just kind of like fall back and I just kind of like enjoy life, you know? And then whenever I have something else to say, like I'll say it again. So sometimes I could spend like 2-3 weeks even without posting. Like, I'm just like, all right, well, if I have something interesting to say, like I'll say it, you know?
Right.
So I think that's kind of like, and I'm not really interested like really in kind of like, you know, follow growing is fine, you know, but I'm like, I'm sure if I wanted to, I could be at so much, you know, more followers now, you know, if I was obviously in front of the camera, or if I gave into like a lot of that hype. But I'm like, you know, sometimes your privacy is like, you know, you can't, you know, You know, that's sometimes that's tool, better. Yeah. Sometimes that's better than like anything else, you know. And, you know, in the beginning, I was way more in front of the camera. And then, you know, I started to be like, it was kind of like a lot for me. Like I'm walking down the street and people are just like, oh, I know, you know, and I'm just like, you know, that's kind of like a lot of pressure, you know. And it was, I felt like it was messing with me like mentally. It was making me a little bit more narcissistic. And I was like, yeah, I'm not really a fan of like these, you know, traits. So I was like, all right, well, I fell back and I just kind of dug deeper into like, well, can I make a powerful photograph without me being in it? Because obviously if I'm in the photograph, people are going to like that. When you're in the photo, people like seeing you, you know? But can I have that same effect without me, without my presence? You know, could it just be, can my work just stand for itself? Because if you look at some really great photographers, like sometimes their work, you know, like you look at us, you know, you know, if you look at a Stephen Curry, like some people work shines for itself. They don't need anything, any other fluff, you know?
Right.
So I kind of was like, well, I'm like, you look at some photographers that's been shooting like at different publications, they're like high, like 70s, 80s, you know? And you don't even, some half the time you don't even know how they look unless you like, you know, So I'm thinking more long-term. I'm like, well, if I'm like 60, 70, 80, like, you know, industry doesn't go to the newer, younger face. You know, I'm like, how can my work just like get to the point where it's just solid on its own, you know?
Right.
So that's kind of like my views on like, you know, social media and things like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think when you say something, when you mention, you know, I post when I only have things to say, you know, it immediately brought to mind of like with Pete Souza, the Obama photographer, like he's still posting old photos of Barack, but it's always like, it's always related to like something that's happening right now in the political world, right? Or like Trump says something and he'll post like a picture of Obama doing the total opposite, you know? And it's, you know, he's using his photos just, you know, to comment on, you know, trending topics or current topics of the day. And like that in and of itself is amazing because I think everybody thought when he, you know, when Obama left office that, you know, we're like, oh, and we're never going to see Pete Souza's photos anymore. It was fantastic, but like, he still found a way to do so. So where do you, I don't want to leave off on a negative note of talking about the internet when we live on the internet. So tell me, you know, what are you guys up to in the studio? What are some of the projects that you're working on now?
Well, so we're basically doing, so one of the artists that we're working with, James, he's like a
shout
painter.
Shout him out.
So Jay's Peace in May. He's a painter. So we're going to probably like create like a little exhibition kind of like to showcase his work, but do something like a little bit more like interactive.
Okay.
So that's one of the things. And then also we might do like another kind of exhibition with this with like the creative agency that works with like Spike Lee. So I think that's kind of like, we're trying to do a few like different like collaborative things like as a group to kind of like show everyone's like skill set and, you know, things like that. So I think that's kind of like some of the projects we're working on at the studio. And then also like maybe like more commerce things like selling like prints and things like that.
Okay.
So we're kind of like, you know, those are some of the things that, you know, we're working on.
And yourself, is there anything in the pipeline for Dapper, or are you kind of focused on the studio at the moment?
Well, I'm trying to hopefully do like a book. So that's kind of like why I've been like going to like a lot of like different countries. So I'm trying to like get something of that, you know, nature going together. So yeah, so that's what I've been like, you know, kind of brainstorming about.
Okay. Is there a dream collab for you? Like, is there a dream somebody that you'd want to work with, or some brand that you'd want to work
with?
I mean, you've kind of been around the block a little bit already, right? So I mean, it is a bit of a tough question.
That's a very tough question.
But I mean, you know, Lauryn Hill was up there, right? I mean, you already
a dream collab. I don't know. Yeah, I think maybe like I've never. I mean, I think for me, I've never like really like released any sort of like product. So I think, you know, whether it's collaborating with a brand or making, you know, doing something that makes sense, I think that kind of would be like more of a dream thing. Just because, like, I mean, obviously I could probably just like, you know, just throw prints into something. But like now I'm like thinking of, all right, well, how's the packaging gonna look? Like, how, you know, how's all this, you know, extra stuff is gonna look? So I think that's why I've kind of like been like shying away from it, because it's a lot of, you know, things to think about, you know. But yeah, I think not more so of a dream collab is actually collaborating with people that have been following me, you know, me able to like give them something that they, you know, tangible that they can like, you know, put in their homes, and you know, so I think that's something that I'm thinking about heavily lately.
Okay. And to close, do you have any advice for young creatives like yourself, young photographer, stylist, that are just unsure if they kind of fit in there, you know, unsure if they, you know, they have the technical skills to get where they want to be. Do you have any advice for them?
I think the advice what I would have is just kind of like, I mean, regardless of the medium, it's just like a lot of it, just got to have, you know, fun doing it. And because really at the end of the day, it's like, you know, that's the reason, you know, we all get into a lot of this stuff, is because we, you know, we enjoy it. We, right. You know, we have fun with it. So I think, yeah, my advice would be to have fun and not worry about like the pressures of it being perfect. I mean, I think that can come like, you know, later on, because obviously if, you know, you're serious about the work, you want the results to be there. So I think in the beginning, you know, just have fun and always be around like people that are going to like, you know, have positive things to say to you. Because sometimes, you know, especially when you're starting out, you know, if you're with a lot of negative Nancys, it's going to be a little bit, you know, it's not, you know, it won't be easy. You know, I know when I was starting out, like, people were always just like, yeah, like, it's good. So even, you know, even looking back, a lot of those images are trash. But, you know, like, I think that really takes a hold on, like, how do you perceive your work. And also, I think it's too, like, be realistic about like your goals, because I mean the internet can make things seem so like, oh, this person's always traveling, or this person's always doing, you know, but you don't really know, like people have been working in this industry before social media, you know what I mean,
right.
Like there's layers to like different people's success, you know. So I think it's also, you know, realizing just because this person's doing X, Y, and Z doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, we should compare ourselves to that. So I think, you know, like, it's really good, like, mentally to, like, take a break from, you know, certain things and just focus on your craft and really hone in on what makes you you and develop a, you know, certain, like, DNA that speaks to you and your personality. So that's the only advice I think I have.
Dope. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you for coming in, Lou. Be sure to follow Dapper Lou at Dapper Lou on all social handles, right?
Yeah.
And DapperLou.com.
DapperLou.com, studios, Dapper Studios, yeah.
All right. Dope. Thanks for tuning in, guys. Peace.